Welcome to our morning show on WRCO. Today we have a very good topic that we haven't had this topic for a little while here anyway on the morning show, talking about power of attorney. We have some upcoming care coalition clinics that we like to talk about. Roxanne Kluberton's Gerber is here, manager of ADRC of Eagle Country. Cindy Riley is here, a social worker at the Richland Hospital. And Cindy Bromland is here. She is a social worker for the county as well. Roxanne, good to have you back here today. And topical situations, good time of year to be looking at these things, isn't it?
It is. So the ADRC, we're part of the Richland County Care Coalition. So that is a group of individuals from the hospital, our local nursing homes, health and human services, and our managed care organizations and IRS agencies, along with our local EMS and law enforcement. So we get together and we look at different projects that we can do that will be beneficial to our community and also to all of our partners. Last year, we did actually an emergency response form, and that was our project for last year. So that form actually is a form that individuals are able to complete and have on file with the sheriff's department if somebody has maybe somebody has dementia, has a propensity to wander, or other special medical needs. So then the sheriff's department is aware of that if they get called out to their home. So then we started looking at the end of last year at what do we do this year. So we're always looking towards a new project for a new year. And so we started working on the power of attorney for healthcare clinics. That is something that we always want to remember, that once we turn 18, we want to make sure that we have our power of attorney set up. Those power of attorney for health cares are really important if something happens to you and you end up in the hospital or end up incapacitated where you can't make your own decisions. Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. So in our state, we need to have a power of attorney for healthcare set up. So that way, in that situation, we can have our wishes known. Our power of attorney for healthcare agents are the ones that can then make those decisions if we're not able to. But it is always important to make sure that you choose somebody that's going to know what your choices would be, know what's important to you.
So if you're 18, you just don't assume that mom and dad will know what to do, or they've got the power to do it, right?
Exactly. There are states out there that are next of kin states, but Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. So if something happens that really then turns that situation much worse, because then the hospital or, you know, other healthcare facilities, they're at that point, there's nobody to make those decisions. So then it turns into a bigger situation than what it actually needs to be.
Has there ever been any mention about Wisconsin changing that? Have you ever heard that?
There has been some talk about that, but really no traction has been made with that.
So you mentioned you have some clinics coming up here, some opportunities for local people. Could you talk about those, Roxanne?
I sure can. So we actually have a power of attorney for health clinic coming up next Wednesday. It is March 5th. We are filling up with slots, so we have 16 slots available, and I believe we've only now got about 5 slots left for this offering. So we will be doing that at the community center from 4 to 6 next Wednesday, and have numerous people from the coalition are volunteering to assist people with completing their documents and then having them witnessed as well.
And you'll plan others throughout the year then? We have other meetings too?
We do. So we already have them set up. So our next one will be in June. So June 4th, September 3rd, and December 3rd. And people can sign up by calling the ADRC at 608-647-4616, and we'll get you signed up.
And that's for all ages?
That's for anybody 18 and older.
Okay. And you mentioned last year that it went pretty well having those emergency papers on file. Are those ones that you do periodically, you know, as needed? How does that work?
Yep. So if individuals are needing assistance like that, they can contact the ADRC. Our dementia care specialist, Pam Kohlberg, works with a lot of families to make sure that that kind of information is on file. So if there is something that's going on within your home where there is that need for potential special attention, or just need to know that somebody has dementia or another type of illness that could cause issues within the home, it's important for people to fill those forms out so we can get them to the sheriff's department so they know what they're walking into. Mm-hmm. For EMS and the sheriff's department.
Same thing if they get a phone call, they might be tipped off that, you know, this person may have some issues and that. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
So, right.
Good to know that. You brought along some friends today as well.
I did. So actually we have Cindy Bronland. She is our Adult Protective Services worker for Health and Human Services, and then also Cindy Riley, who is a social worker from the hospital. So we all work very closely with this subject.
Do you call Cindy B and Cindy R? How do you?
Luckily, I don't know if it's luckily, but we're not in the room together very often,
oh, okay.
So I don't have to worry about that. Otherwise, if that starts happening, I'm going to have to come up with nicknames.
Well, Cindy Bromlin, tell us and describe kind of what you do then with your job.
So I'm Adult Protective Services. I work a lot with guardianships and protective placements. I also do investigations for abuse, neglect, financial exploitation, and things like that. So it's kind of, I'm the only APS worker for Richland County, and it can be very busy at times, and there's a lot of things coming in, a lot of questions being asked, and trying to stay on top of all of that is important.
One of the things that you deal with is guardianship. Can you tell us about that and what that is about?
Yep. So guardianship, it happens when people don't have power of attorneys. It's the next step. If somebody doesn't have the directives or have the ability to make a power of attorney, then the guardianship is the next step. And a lot of times we like to stay with a family member because families know you. They know what you want. They know your needs. They know, you know, kind of how things are in life. But sometimes that isn't always the best option. So then we go with corporate guardians. The difference between having a family member or a close friend and a corporate guardian is a corporate guardian you have to pay for. Right now, the going rate is about $300 a month that you have to pay for that. But then you have a total stranger coming in and trying to make these decisions for you who don't know you, who don't really know what you want or what cares you desire. So having the power of attorney set up in advance helps to not go through that process and have to deal with all of that because you already have what you want laid out.
For a guardian, what powers do they have? I mean, are they put on the bank and, you know, insurance and those kind of things?
Yep. So a guardian, the easiest way to explain it is it's kind of like being a parent. Once a guardianship is appointed by the courts, then they make all decisions for you. They handle all of your finances. They pay your bills. They make your medical decisions. They do your insurances. So they kind of take over everything that you would normally do yourself.
Okay. Will you be involved in the Care Coalition clinics that Roxanne talked about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be there. Do you give a talk or are you there for questions?
People can ask me questions. I'm not sure how that's going to work yet. I have my training with her today, so we'll see how that goes.
You mentioned, and I think Roxanne did too, other states are a little bit different than Wisconsin. Is that the same in terms of guardianships and things like that too?
A lot of it is typically the same, but each state has their own rules. I'm not familiar with the other states and how they run it. I only know Wisconsin.
A typical day for you, is there a typical day for what you do?
No, each day is different. There is no 2 days alike.
So, and you're available for phone calls. How can people, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I work at the Richland County Health and Human Services office, so they can call either the main office or they can call my direct line, which is 608-649-5797. If I don't answer the phone, they can leave a voicemail. I do have a private voicemail, and I can get back to them as soon as I'm able.
You have probably witnessed some worst-case scenarios, right, for somebody that doesn't have some things locked in place?
I have. A lot of times when people don't have things locked in place and they need decision makers right now, we do the emergency guardianships. We always typically start out with a temporary guardianship, which lasts for 60 days. So then it gives us the opportunity to figure out if this is the best situation, if there's other options available. And then we go back and determine whether or not the guardian that was chosen is the right guardian and go into the permanent guardianship.
What are some things you look for to make sure they're the perfect fit?
We look at the criminal history and whether or not they've been accused of abuse and neglect in the past and if they're trustworthy, if it's somebody that the person can trust or the family trust. If we can't find somebody that meet those guidelines or they don't have anybody that meet those guidelines, then we go into the corporate guardianships.
Do you have a situation sometimes where families butt heads and can't agree and then somebody else is appointed?
We have. We've had a few cases where the families have been at each other's throats and they couldn't agree on somebody, and so the county feels that a corporate guardianship and having a neutral territory works. In those cases, the corporate guardians do work with the families and try to keep them involved as much as possible, but there are times where they have to say enough is enough and we're going to start making those decisions.
You deal with clients with substance abuse issues and things like that as well?
I haven't personally worked with anybody with substance abuse, but I know that the county does work with people and they have programs for those.
Do you work closely with Cindy Riley at the hospital as well?
I do. We've worked several times on different cases.
Yeah. Cindy, we'll bring you into the conversation as well because you're kind of an expert on the whole thing. So, at what age should we be looking at getting some documents in place and filed with our hospital?
Sure. So like Roxanne and Cindy both said, Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. So anybody really 18 and older should have a power of attorney for health care. That surprises a lot of people. They kind of think, well, my spouse can just make my decisions or, you know, my mom. And that's not always the case. And we don't like to see it where they put it off and then you end up in the hospital and maybe something has happened and you can no longer make your decisions because then you've taken a time that's already stressful to and make it even more stressful.
How long do the papers have to be in place at the hospital before it takes over? Is there a certain amount of time, like you file them, or?
No, once you make a power of attorney for health care, you just file them and they sit there. If there becomes a time you're no longer decisional and two doctors have evaluated you and decided you can't make your decisions, then they'll sign and it's called activating the power of attorney for healthcare and someone can start making your decisions for you at that time.
So that person is appointed especially for, end of life as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's for all of that. Interesting, you know, so I think it's important to not only appoint somebody, but to give them what you want done, right?
Right. We always try to, you know, it's about the conversation. It really is. And if you can make the power of attorney for healthcare together with your decision maker and the principal, I mean, it's really keeping that conversation going so that your decision maker knows what you want when it comes to that time. Having it in black and white and special instructions written out is always helpful, I think, for the people because then they know that they're honoring the wishes of the person, the patient.
Those are hard conversations to have, aren't they?
They are, but if you do it when you're not sick, it can be, it's comforting, really. But I mean, if you're sick and you're in the hospital and you're already in crisis, and maybe you can't, make your decisions, and then you have to go to the courts or to Cindy to have guardianship, it's, you know, more stressful, it takes longer, and it can be expensive.
Mm-hmm. So you see family sometimes at some tough times, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
And you go to the papers and see, I mean, I'm guessing we talked a little bit with this, with Cindy Broman too, but maybe family members don't agree or whatever, but it's important to have that one person that kind of knows what mom or dad or whomever would like to have done, right?
Yeah, that is true. And with everybody that comes into the hospital, we always ask if they have a power of attorney for healthcare. If they don't, we try to encourage them to create one, give them information if they want. We do have times appointments at the clinic as well, the Richland Hospital and clinics, that they can make appointments and come and have it, the documents completed. So we have a couple of volunteers that come in, Brenda Cupp and Deb O'Connell, and then Ryan Elliott from Pine Valley. So you can call and make appointments. We do them as well, but we're a little bit busier, so we're not always able to accommodate them.
So as time goes by, we can always refile, right? If things change or, you know, maybe you want somebody else to make those decisions?
Yeah, you should always kind of review your power of attorney for health care. So, I mean, if there's a divorce within a decade, new diagnosis, or a death. So it's good to review your power of attorney and create a new one if you feel it no longer meets your needs.
Mm-hmm. And we can do that. We don't necessarily go through a lawyer or anything like that to do it.
No, it's a service that we offer for free. You know, the coalition that's having their workshop come up, that'll be for free. People can also, you know, do them on their own, have them witnessed. I don't always encourage that, just because a lot of times then we'll find when they bring them in, maybe they're not accurate, and so they're not valid. And then by that time, a lot of times it's when we're pulling those up, it's too late, and then they need to go to guardianship. So they may have not witnessed it properly, not signed it at the same time, or not answered all the questions. The state of Wisconsin also, you have to address CBRF, nursing home, and withdraw or withhold feeding tubes. So if those questions aren't addressed in it, then it's not a valid power of attorney for healthcare in the state of Wisconsin.
We should not confuse that with power of for finances, right?
Right. So what I'm talking about is all healthcare. So guardianships will address financial and health, and power of attorney for healthcare that we do at the hospital, or that document is just for healthcare decisions.
Cindy Brohman, do we file in two different ones for our finances then?
Yes, there is also a power of attorney of finance. One of the biggest things to keep into consideration is when doing a power of attorney of finance, once that is signed, it is active unless stated otherwise. So if you go to the bank and you fill out your power of attorney of finance and you sign it and you don't state that you want it to take place at a future date, it automatically becomes active that day that you sign it. So then that power of attorney can start doing things on your behalf.
And their name would be on a banking account, so to speak, or, you know, whatever the case might be then, right?
Yeah, I don't think that they always put it on the bank account, but they do give them access to the bank account with having the power of attorney. They're like a, I'm drawing a blank. an authorized user.
Okay. And at what point does the power of attorney for finance, when does that end? At death then?
Yep, that ends at death.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then some other arrangement has to be made by that point then.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Good. Good topical stuff on the morning show. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the upcoming CARE Coalition clinics and a very topical subject here on the morning show. And we continue. Our morning show continues here on WRCO Radio, talking about power of attorney for healthcare and other topics here on the morning show today. Roxanne Kluberton-Skerber, our guest. And again, not the easiest thing to talk about all the time, is it? But it needs to be done.
It really isn't easy to talk about, but we recommend that people have these conversations before something happens. You know, being prepared is the best thing that we can do for ourselves and for our loved ones as well.
Yeah, because we never know, do we?
We don't.
And, you know, I've always thought, and probably wrongly, that this is an old people's thing, you know, but it's not at all, is it?
It's not. Anything can happen at any time. And we've seen that throughout our community, unfortunately, where, you know, families are caught off guard by something really tragic that has happened or, you know, unexpected that has happened. And then they don't have these safeguards in place. And so then, like Cindy said earlier, then it just adds to it that at that moment when they're already stressed out about so many different things, now it's one more thing that they have to deal with.
So what has to happen if someone doesn't have those things documented and they need, you know, healthcare people need to know answers? What happens in a case like that?
So at that point, if there is not something set up, like we mentioned earlier, people then have to go through the guardianship process, which can be, it can take some time. So there's nothing that happens immediately. So then at that point as well, then it's that the family trying to figure out, you know, who would be the best person to be guardian? Is a family member the best person? And then do they need to do a private guardianship depending on what their asset level is? Or do they need to get the county APS social worker involved? So there's just so many different aspects to it that people don't realize. And so then, unfortunately, they find out in these really hard situations.
But that sounds like it would take some time. I mean, what happens if it's just an emergency where you got to make a split decision?
So that's where then they would do the emergency temporary guardianship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it still isn't immediate, though. You know, that's the thing is it's not an immediate situation. Cindy from the hospital can probably talk a little bit more about what does happen in those kinds of situations, but immediate decisions need to be made.
Yeah, worst case scenario, Cindy, can you tell us about that?
Sure. So if you're in the hospital and you have to have, you know, immediate medical decisions made, they do kind of go by what the doctor may know the patient, whoever is the kind of, not the best word, but next of kin can make those immediate decisions just because it's emergent. They'll rely on the doctors a lot. If they need to move from the hospital and go to a different care setting, such as a nursing home, an assisted living, or anything like that, then they have to have the guardianship to be able to move. And so that can make someone really be in the hospital for a long time, and they're already confused and elderly, and being in the hospital is not the best place for them either at that time. And then you have to wait for it to go through the courts. And a lot of times it feels like this always happens around the holidays, so it feels like we're going to need a guardian, right before Christmas. And so then you've got Christmas and you've got New Year's and all of that, and a lot of times then they just linger in the hospital.
I'm sure you see this all the time. What happens if somebody's visiting from out of town and those decisions have to be made? Is there connections with their health care facility or what happens?
Yeah, we do our best to gather all the information that we can. So we do reach out to their primary care providers, family, friends, whoever they happen to be visiting with. We still always talk to the patient as much as you can. Even if they have an activated power of attorney for healthcare, they should be included as much as they're able to participate.
So if I file and you've got it on hand at the Richland Hospital, it's there, then those decisions can be made. But what happens if I'm at another hospital then? Does that hospital connect with Richland Hospital?
Yes, and so they can request, the records, and we would send that over. We always recommend to, I kind of always tell people if they're traveling, it's nice to take a copy with you just in case, because you never know. A lot of times, even in the glove box of your car is a nice place to keep them in case you're in an accident. And hospitals can share the power of attorney for healthcare with other hospitals.
The hospital has to have the original copy then? Is that how that works?
No, the patient keeps the original.
The patient does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have copies.
And then you just have the copy.
Mm-hmm.
Your form is a little bit different than the one that Sydney Bromlin talked about, the one at the hospital. And how is it different?
So we do the state form, and we also do, it used to be called Honoring Choices. I'm not sure what it's been labeled now, but it's a lengthier one, and it's also more reader friendly kind of, but it goes through a lot of different scenarios, so that when you're filling that out, you can really be very specific on what you want your needs to be, your wishes to be, and what you want followed. So it addresses more than just kind of who I want to be my decision maker and yes or no to a nursing home. So it really goes kind of in depth of, if I'm no longer able to recognize anybody, and I don't know who I am or where I am, this is what I kind of want to happen. And then there's other scenarios as well.
And maybe I don't want to be kept alive, after, everything's kind of going south. You don't want to be kept alive by machines. And a lot of times that's decided too, right?
Yeah, so that's decided. There's also, I should have brought a copy with me, but there's portions where it'll kind of say, do you want clergy call? Do you like, the room warm? Do you like it cold? Do you want blankets? Do you want music? Who do you want to visit? What do you want people to do when they're there with you? So, it can get pretty specific if that's what you want to do.
During COVID, I bet that was a challenge too, wasn't it? Things changed.
Well, yeah, then it changed a lot because we didn't have, people couldn't visit. We couldn't do that. We were ending up having to do, which we don't typically do, a lot of power of attorney for healthcare at the hospital because people were in the ICU, most likely going to be sometimes transferred or intubated and transferred. And so trying to get as much information for that person at that time, which of course, like we talked about, how stressful that is, and they're already quite ill, and then trying to do that. So again, it's just another reason why you try to get that information and those documents completed early on.
Cindy Bromlin, you said there was a do-it-yourself kit that you have. How easy? Could a simpleton like me fill that out, or how does it go?
So I have a packet from GWAR that kind of explains what a power of attorney is, what the decisions are, who can be your agent, how should you name an alternate agent. It kind of has basic questions that people ask a lot of, and it gives answers and scenarios for, and it walks you through on how to fill out the power of attorney, what happens if you want to revoke a power of attorney, if you want to change a power of attorney. It kind of gives answers to those kind of questions. And then it also has suggested topics to discuss with your healthcare agents on what your wishes are, if something happens, what you want to see done. It kind of has questions and answers on those types of things. So it kind of goes over the whole situation of a power of attorney of healthcare, and it explains a little more in depth on what it means and what can be done, what can't be done, and how you should pick who your agent is and stuff like that. Very informative.
And you mentioned, should you have a backup agent then as well?
Yep, you can have a backup agent. A lot of times we like to see two people listed just in case something happens. The first person isn't able to make those decisions, then we have a second on hand that can take over for the first one. Not everybody has two, but we do recommend at least listing two.
Is it official when it's notarized then?
No. So when you fill out a power of attorney paperwork, you want to make sure, you know, that your agent has a copy, you have a copy, your doctor has a copy, the hospital has a copy. The only way for the power of attorney of healthcare to be activated is you have to be assessed by two physicians, and two physicians have to sign off on it. That's the only way for it to be activated. If you don't have those two assessments and the two doctors signing off, then it's not active. It's just a paper with your wishes and supports listed, so they know if in this case what you want, and it goes from there.
So that's probably a common misconception, that it starts immediately as soon as it's notarized and signed, right?
Yeah, that is a huge misconception, and that's the difference between the power of attorney of healthcare and the power of attorney of finance. Where the power of attorney of healthcare, you have to have two doctors sign off on it, where the power of attorney of finance, you don't. It's two completely different scenarios.
I'm guessing you get all kinds of questions at your office, don't you? And just about every situation you can imagine.
Yes, we do.
You need to be well-versed, I think, don't
you? Yeah. Yeah, I'm still learning as I go. Power of attorneys are a little newer for me. I just started doing them over the past year, but I'm learning right along with everybody else. So.
And I'm guessing laws and whatnot change from time to time, too. You got to be well-versed on that.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I do keep in contact with, you know, GWAR and the state, and we have our APS roundtables that we meet annually and or biannually, however it works. There's different groups that I work with. And so we try to keep everybody informed on the changes through the state and that kind of thing. So,
Roxanne, some good information. People can find out more at the upcoming clinics, can't they?
They can. So how the clinic will work is we have time slots from 4 to 6. Actually, right now, our time slots from 4 to 5 have been filled, and they're half-hour time slots. So when you come in and you sit down with us, we're going to explain what the power of attorney for healthcare is, and then we're going to go through the process. We've already, when people call us and sign up, we've let them know that, you know, the different information that they should bring with them, and then at that time, then we'll go through step-by-step. One thing for people to remember, if they happen to do, like, a do-it-yourself and just print it off, is that if you're going to have people witness it has to be two witnesses that are not related to you. So you can't just have, you know, your brother and sister sign off as your witnesses. So that's really important. And we do recommend that people make sure that they're fully informed when they're filling out these forms, because if they don't get filled out correctly, then they're not valid. And so we want to make sure that people have the best information possible, and that when they're completing these documents don't then turn around and they're not valid and they're sitting at the hospital and no use to you.
And again, you probably want to, if you've done it, you probably want to revisit it from time to time and make sure that that's what you still want. Those are your wishes, right?
Definitely. You want to make sure that power of attorney for healthcare agent that you've assigned, that they're still willing to do it, because sometimes their situation changes. So pulling that document out every once in a while, you know, every year or so, is always good to look at that. And your personal situation may change. Maybe that person is just not somebody that you trust anymore, or that you want to be your agent. And so then it's good to update that information. And also just to make sure that everything is filled out properly, the dates are properly completed, and that there's not information missing, anything that would cause it to all of a sudden not be valid, because that's the last thing that we want to do, is go through all of that preparation and then you get to the hospital and they say, we're sorry, this isn't valid, and now mom isn't able to make her own decisions. You have to go through the guardianship process. And Cindy's kind of smiling over there, because we've had that happen a few times over the years, and it's unfortunate. So that's why these clinics are important.
pretty much you better check with that person to make sure they want to be your agent too, right?
Right, right. Definitely. And that's something that we always tell people is make sure you're having these conversations before you fill out that paperwork and make somebody your designee. You want to make sure they know and they're prepared, and you want to make sure that, you know, they have all the information needed to be able to carry out your wishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you might just assume that, oh, my oldest child is going to do it, you know, right. And maybe they don't really want to or not able to.
Right. So,
yeah, very, very good stuff. Earlier this week, Cindy Roman, we talked a little bit about farm succession, but do you deal in that? I mean, is it when the assets are bigger, you know, when you're talking about, for finance, is it different, some of the things that people look at or people file with the county?
You know, I haven't had that situation, so it's hard to answer that. I know with the power of attorney of finance and guardianships of finance, a lot of times it's something that you want to go through with them. You want them to be able to know what you have, what the situation is, where to find things if they need be. You kind of want to keep everything prepared, so then if it does take into effect, it can be found and people aren't digging and scrambling and trying to figure out where your assets are and what you have, what you don't have. And so it's important to kind of keep that information together and keep the person that you named your agent informed on all of that, on where to find it if need be.
You should make notes, maybe a list of where to find it. You know, I have this in this bank, and, you know, this is filed in my shoebox under the bed or whatever the case might be, right?
Yeah. And I know a lot of people nowadays have safes. Well, I know I do. I don't know if everybody else does, but we always keep our documentation in our safe, and our agents, you know, if this happens, here's where the code to my safe is. So then you can get that information.
All good stuff and questions. Anybody else have anything to add here this morning, Roxanne?
So just a reminder, if you're interested in coming to one of the Power of Attorney for Healthcare clinics, you can call the ADRC and you can sign up. And then Carla, our receptionist, will give you all the information you need to be able to sign up and let you know what you need to bring with you at that time. Slots are filling up quickly for next week's offering, but we will be doing it again, like I said, in June, September, and December. So
you need to pre-register. You can't just show up that day.
You have to pre-register because we have 4 volunteers that will be sitting with people and then 1 person that will go around and help to witness everything. So,
well, we hope we've provided some good information for the community. Thanks for coming in today, ladies. Yep.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Roxanne Klubertanz-Gerber, Cindy Riley, and Cindy Bromlin here on today's morning show.